UW95.9 FM in Winnipeg, listener-driven radio.
Happy birthday to you.
Come celebrate 27 years of CKUW on the FM dial on Thursday, April the 30th at the West End Cultural Center with our friends Holy Void, Paige Drobot, and Marin. Show at 8 p.m. Tickets at the West End Cultural Center website, wecc.ca.
Following is a CKUW 95.9 FM original program celebrating over 10 years on the Winnipeg airwaves, created by volunteers in the community, made possible by generous listener support.
Those little golden birdies, look at them.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Sands Hotel is proud to present the star of our show.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Are you ready for start time? Are you ready for start time? All right, let's bring to the stage...
Mr. Personality himself, singing Personality.
Over and over, I tried to prove my love to you. Over and over...
Welcome to another edition of Amateur Hour here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, your source for the weird, the wild, the wonderful, where bad is good and worse is even better. And today, another show about the birds. Yes, yet another bird show, but unlike all the other bird shows that we've done before, where we have guests on to talk about birds, or we play songs about birds or by birds, We're going to do a little bird sound collage today. Yes, it's spring. Spring has sprung. The birds are out in full force. And I, for one, love birds. And one of the reasons I want to do this show is because I have all these how-to bird records, how to do bird calls, how to train your parakeet. I also have all these amazing bird songs from the ornithology departments across America. So we're going to do a nice little sound collage about birds. And, you know, maybe one day, if we're lucky enough, they will take over. Yeah, I'd like to think the birds would make better, better overlords than what we have now. So today, all hail the birds here on Amateur Hour, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Cheep, cheep. Let's do this.
Commonly believe the more interesting birds are found only in remote places. Yet it is surprising that with a little encouragement, many birds will come to our yards and gardens. A pair of field glasses is helpful in recognizing birds, if the glasses are handy when you need them. A friend of mine keeps his binoculars and a bird guide near the window. With these aids, he and his family are usually able to identify 100 different species in or near their yard during a year's time.
Here are the songs and calls of 60 familiar birds, as recorded in the woods, fields, and gardens of... The flicker, or golden-winged woodpecker, has a variety of notes, but reserves its flicker-flicker call until two birds are together. Chickadee calls its name Chickadee-dee-dee, but has a high, clear, whistled phoebe for a song.
Migrate northward in spring. The spruce tree's protective branches provide a homestead for nesting blue jays. the neighbor's daughter, Joan, during a long illness, was able to watch the housekeeping activities of these birds from her bedroom window. The blue jays, which are among our most intelligent birds, raised 5 precocious youngsters.
The abundant red-eyed vireos in the treetops can become monotonous in the regularity of their short, robin-like phrases.
The young jays grew rapidly and soon left the nest, but Joan long remembered this family of blue jays, which brought so much enjoyment during a period that would otherwise have been monotonous and lonely. In my own yard, a female cardinal feels secure in this spruce tree's foliage.
The yellow-throated vireo sings more slowly and is slightly hoarse.
The bright red male and his less colorful mate live here all year round. During winter, when food is not so plentiful, I find sunflower seeds will frequently attract them to a feeding station outside my window. In spring, natural food is once more available, and with a new family to feed, it takes 2 hard-working parents to fill hungry, growing nestlings.
The warbling vireo sings a continuous warble from the treetops, similar to that of the purple finch, but with a distinctly rising inflection at the end.
Although the cardinal was originally a native of our southern states, it has in recent years become more and more common around northern homes. Pushing apart the concealing branches to examine the nest, a neighbor is surprised by the spirited fight a nesting brown thrasher puts up in defense of her home.
Crows are smart, but can be easily fooled with good calling and the proper calls. The calls used in this recording are Herder's world-famous regular pitch calls and Herder's world-famous high-pitch calls. The call is held between the thumb and the four fingers of either hand even while shooting. The mouthpiece is held lightly up against your teeth with the lips closed above it. You will never get a crow if you just blow air through your call like this. Growl as you blow it. Use your stomach muscles as he bellows to force the sound through your vocal cords and into the call. Your growl will vocally sound like this. Through your call, it will sound like this. Low hum produced by growling through your call will be audible on this recording, but not to the crows. There are 5 calls essential to good results. First is the come here call, which is used to attract the attention of distant crows. It is a call of a crow in distress. Cuff your hands like a megaphone around the call so that the tones will carry out well. After the crows have turned and are coming to your blind, switch to the second essential call, the recognition call. Make it heavy with a pleading accent. You're imitating a crow locating an owl or in distress and plenty peeved. This call or the fighting call or the two mixed will bring the crows in all the way. The third essential call is the fighting call. Make it sound tough and chesty. Learn to mix a little of the comeback call with the fighting call. This makes the calling still more effective. When crows are within 80 yards and until you shoot at them, muffle your call by placing your most convenient finger into the muzzle. Make the sound of your call teasing and hard to locate by placing both hands like a megaphone around the call and using one hand in a fanning action over the end of the barrel. The fourth essential call is the comeback call. It is used mixed with the recognition call and the fighting call on incoming crows. Its most important purpose is to bring back crows you have shot at. Make them think the pals they left behind really need help. Crows can be brought back repeatedly by the use of this comeback call. As they turn and come back, switch to the fighting call. Bring them into range with the fighting call mixed with a little of the comeback call. The sorrow call is for use in crows that have sighted dead birds in front of your blind. Fall right in with their calling. best results. These are the days for bigger calls in the high pitch. But it's always a good idea to carry a pair of calls, one pitch line, one pitch regular, to see the results, and in case one becomes broken in the field.
Recall.
Listen, the world is full of sounds.
The Canada Warbler has a rich warbled song.
Your nose is just a little closer to me than your ears. Light reflected off your nose reaches me just an instant in time before your ears. But suppose I had a magic camera so that I could see your nose and your ears at precisely the same instant.
But where is the bird? Is it in a tree or on the ground? Sometimes your ears are better tools than your eyes.
Brown-headed cowbird, common grackle, common yellow-throat yellow warble or Canada goose, American widgeon, mallard, lesser scope, common golden or red-necked grebe, Sarah Wilson's sniping billgull, American white pelican, red-tailed hawk, downy woodpecker, hairy woodpecker, northern flicker, yellow-shafted, least flycatcher, red-eyed vireo, blue jay, black-billed magpie, American crow, common raven, black-capped chickadee, three-swallow barn swallow, red-breasted nuthatch, white-breasted nuthatch, house wren, European starling, gray catbird, American robin, cedar waxwing, house sparrow, house finch, pine siskin, American goldfinch, chipping sparrow, clay collar sparrow, dark-eyed juncker, white-throated sparrow, savannah sparrow, song sparrow, red-winged blackbird.
The very smallest bird on Earth.
Hummingbirds have the fastest metabolisms on Earth. Some need to visit 2,000 flowers a day.
They are hummingbirds. And their glittering colors and their prowess in the air are unmatched.
Bye.
There is perhaps no natural sound that more completely symbolizes the northern wilderness lake than the call of the loon.
I've always had a strange relationship with birds, or why I never wanted to be a scientist.
Goldfinch, pigeon, woodpecker, blackbird, sparrow, blue jay, blue tit, robin, raven, cardinal, yellow warbler, garden warbler, starling, swallow, wren, mallard duck.
I think this is a robin. Sure, this is a magpie. I don't know much about magpies, except that they often seem to get a bad rap. They're definitely vocal. I've come across people saying some pretty terrible things about magpies online recently, and right after reading one particularly disturbing tweet, I read an article written by Paula Simons titled, "Why All the Squawk About Magpies?" It's actually from 2011, which is kind of interesting. I guess people's struggle with magpies must resurface year after year. Here's a bit from her article.
"And yet, I find their charm irresistible. They are so clever, so cocky, so brazen, so funny, so interested in everything and everyone. European researchers have determined that they are smart enough to recognize their own reflections as reflections in a mirror, a test of higher intelligence and self-awareness that many primate species cannot meet. They are tough, too. They spend all year here, enlivening our bleak Decembers and Januaries with their bold, iridescent, black and white and blue tuxedo plumage. On a cold and lonely winter morning walk, they make cheeky companions with their cries and stunts. They almost seem to engage you in conversation."
Maybe hearing the magpies again is what got me thinking about birds in the first place.
But where is the bird? Is it in a tree or on the ground? Sometimes your ears are better tools than your eyes.
These news reports are from less than a year ago.
Birds that have adapted to cities and that live in the northern boreal forest are doing well.
But a new report shows more than 400 species, a third of North America's migratory birds, are facing extinction.
Taking a walk in your park, are you hearing fewer birds? Here is a startling fact that billions of birds have been lost in North America just over the past few decades.
37% of them are in urgent need of conservation attention. So these are species that are in serious trouble.
This was interesting. In a report I was listening to about the dramatic decline in bird numbers over the past 50 years. A slip, I'm sure, but makes sense considering how we always seem to frame things.
That over the last 50 years, a $3 billion loss in birds in North America. So that's a 29% decline in population. This is something that they're concerned about, of course, because birds are awfully useful. You talk about pest control, you're talking about pollination, as well as the spreading of seeds.
It's pretty annoying that we always have to make things all about money.
Dramatic video of hundreds of birds literally falling from the sky into a neighborhood. What on earth is going on?
It's perfectly calm when suddenly this happened. A flock of black birds swirled to the ground. It's like nothing you've ever seen before.
In 2021, researchers announced that they had found the killer, a toxin from a recently discovered species of bacteria. And the scientists hope that this knowledge can better protect eagles and the ecosystems they depend on. But how these scientists uncovered this mystery is better than any murder TV show that you've ever seen. So get ready for some twists and turns. It all begins in 1994 near a reservoir in Arkansas called the Gray Lake. Soon after the eagles had arrived to spend the winter, they started turning up dead. 2 years later, it happened again. This time, another overwintering species was affected as well. Some duck-like birds called coots, a prey item of eagles, by the way, were having trouble swimming and flying. In necropsies, the non-human version of an autopsy, the bodies of the affected birds looked mostly healthy, but in their brains, the white matter was spongy. The axons, the skinny tubes that carry messages between brain cells, were swollen, and their fatty myelin wrappers were riddled with microscopic fluid-filled bubbles. Researchers ruled out some possibilities like prions or misfolded proteins and viruses. And by 1998, they classified it as a new brain disease, avian vacuolar myelinopathy, or AVM. No one had ever seen anything like this in wild birds, but it did look a lot like the damage in mammals from certain neurotoxins, like from the rat poison bromethalin. Bromethalin works by blocking mitochondria from producing energy in the form of ATP. Neurons use a lot of ATP to set up their signals, and when this breaks down, they sort of fall apart. Trouble was, testing for these and other toxins turned up nothing. Meanwhile, the problem was growing. AVM began showing up across the southeastern U.S. Over 8 winters, it killed at least 100 bald eagles and thousands of coots, and it sickened members of several other bird species. There was growing evidence that the cause was a natural toxin, not a chemical that humans had dumped into the environment. But despite years of trying, researchers could not identify it. Then, in 2005, we have our first breakthrough. Scientists linked the poisonings to artificial bodies of water where a certain invasive weed was growing, and where a certain type of cyanobacteria was growing on that weed. The nuisance weed is called hydrilla, or water thyme, and these lakes had a lot of it. Now, hydrilla also grew in similar lakes without these cyanobacteria, and even though the same types of birds spent time there, they were not getting sick. So all signs were pointing to bacteria. No one had seen this species before, but others like it are notorious for making potent toxins, including ones that affect the brain. You may have heard about toxic algal blooms that poison wildlife and close beaches. Well, that is actually cyanobacteria, sometimes called green algae, and they can be nasty. Researchers suspected these new cyanobacteria were making a toxin that accumulated as it moved moved up the food chain. This is sort of like what happens with other toxins like mercury or DDT, the pesticide infamous for thinning bird eggshells. Like water birds eat the weeds, then eagles eat the water birds, especially the sick ones, because they're easy to catch. Since eagles are at the top of the food chain, they likely get the highest dose of toxin, which may have made avium especially deadly for them. But it affected other critters in the lakes too, like snails, tadpoles, fish, and turtles. Problem was, when researchers grew the cyanobacteria in the lab, itself turns out no easy task, they didn't make any toxin. So even though there was all this evidence that they were the killer, it was all circumstantial evidence.
What do you think when you see a dead bird? Is it a scary thought or something normal for you? In this video, I will explain the spiritual meaning of dead birds, their symbolism, and their meanings. Birds symbolize much more than most people know. So, let's take a look at the main meanings. You have received a warning. Whether in a nightmare, sweet dream, or walking, dead birds can be a warning. It shows that something bad is about to happen. So, you need to change some of your behaviors to avoid the dangers of the warning. In our daily life, we can find dead birds in places with bad airspace. One of the warnings these dead birds show us is that we are breathing toxic air. If a bird cannot survive, then you are next in line. If there is a dead bird in your dreams, it will talk to your mind. Something will be wrong with your plans. Remember that the death of different birds says many things to you. The warnings can also come depending on different cultures and the place where you live. Also, you see this symbol when there is a dead canary in your dreams. It means that something is wrong in your life. If you don't deal with this problem, you will end up paying for the results. But also, when you see these warnings, be positive. Although these are not good signs, focus on getting ideas that will help you. Push yourself to do things right and achieve other goals in your life. Reborn and rebirth. When you see dead birds, it is never always something negative. Sometimes it shows the rebirth of a beautiful thing that once existed. So you should have hope. Remember, from a spiritual point of view, a dead bird is not a bad thing. It shows that change and renewal are coming your way. In many traditions, a dead bird causes your old habits to die. After that, you will have a rebirth of new life. The ancient Greeks believed that a dead bird indicated that one life had ended and another was about to begin. It was the beginning of a new generation. The same would be true for Native Americans. It was a step of rebirth. The dead bird showed that one would be reborn with new behavior. A departed soul of a person close to you. Sometimes when you see a dead bird, it means that you have lost someone very close to you.
A lone magpie corpse.
The difference between a fake bird call and a real one.
Hovering among the trees at peak foliage in this Massachusetts town is an unfamiliar object, a high-powered commercial drone.
Just about everywhere you look online these days is YouTube footage of drone strikes.
Which can fly at 400 feet for up to 220 hours. Sci-Fi is partnering with state police, the U.S. Army, and big events such as concerts and marathons.
Find out to an ABC News exclusive on the Predator drone program that has been used to track crowds of protesters in Minneapolis.
Oh,
This is from the Cornell Ornithology Lab, all about birds. How to listen to a bird song. By using a few simple, objective terms, you can understand the structure and quality of a song and identify what's unique about it. One reason why birders can identify birds by sight is that we have a whole vocabulary for it, words like eyeline and streaking, but how to describe a song? Here are three simple questions that will separate most bird songs. 1. Sound quality. 2. Pitch trend. And 3. Number of sections.
In this case, the thrush is saying, "Hello, I'm here, I'm all right." The common northern cardinal can say, "This means I'm hungry. The children are hungry. Bring food."
Using a spectrogram to display time, left to right, and pitch, from high to low, it's easy to visualize the sound pattern of any bird.
The owl's whole head is designed for listening. Its distinctive round face is shaped like a satellite dish, specifically to detect sound. Sound arriving at the left ear before it reaches the right tells the owl it's coming from below.
The other day, an old friend sent me a picture she had found of a few of us sitting on a park bench at Horlock Park. She said she remembered that day specifically because sometime after the photo was taken, a bird pooped on my head. Some say it's good luck when a bird poops on you. All I know is, as someone who it's happened to a few times now, it's not super helpful to tell someone in the moment when it happens that it's good luck. Maybe save that for another time.
Up with a second chance. The blue jay hawks his pretty wares, and the oak still stands, spreading glorious shade. If you don't look back, the future never happens. How good to rise in sunlight and the prodigal smell of biscuits, eggs, and sausage on the grill. The whole sky is yours to write on, blown open to a blank page. Come on, shake a leg. You'll never know who's down there, frying those eggs, if you don't get up and see.
Dawn in the duck blind. It is still dark. The stars are bright overhead, but the first flush of color tints the clouds along the eastern horizon. Barred owls are still hooting in the swamp behind us. We have sneaked into the duck blind quietly, without disturbing the flocks of birds that are roosting on the bay. The decoys are in place, and we are resting and listening. A large flock of Canada geese on the dark water to the southeast is barely visible. But when we point the microphone with its 3-foot sound-catching parabola in that direction, we can hear them talking. The old birds are gabbling with occasional honks, and the birds of the year are giving the lisping baby whistles, which, strangely enough, they have not yet outgrown. They came in last night as a unified flock of 100 birds. Now they are broken up into family groups and do a lot of bickering. Listen to a few goose arguments when one family swims too close to another. On the shore and are now much closer. Swing the microphone toward them to hear them conversing. Behind us in the dark swamp, wood ducks are calling. The whistling or peeping of the males easily distinguished from the cries. Here comes a nice flock leaving the harbor.
Sneak up very close to his food because his arrow can only kill at 30 paces. The biggest nuisance in his life is the go-away bird, who seems to take pleasure in sabotaging him. It'll watch him stalking painstakingly up to his quarry and then tell it to go away. Targets.
now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. He said, cut it. And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. Yet, tender and juicy. I said it to him.
Take two,
Colonel, if you read it. Okay, we're recording.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. No.
Take two.
I found a way to cook extra. Come on over and try my crispy. It's entirely different, and yet it's just as tender and tasty, and it's just as finger licking good. Right? You see how I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy, and I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, real crispy chicken crust. Crispy. Whatever, but yes. Let me get that scratched off of there and quit looking at it. It's entirely different.
Take three.
Yeah, it's entirely different.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Quiet, please. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. That real crusty, real what kind of damn
crispy
crust. It's really different. My new extra crisp.
Crispy.
New extra crispy. I thought I said that. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. It's entirely different. It every bit is finger licking good, you see. You see, I found a way to cook chicken. Better do it again.
This girl Sandra's job is getting me down.
This will be Wildlife 30.
A crazy chicken chasing me all over town.
That's why folks call it
thing. Psycho chicken.
That's why folks call it thing.
Run as quickly as you can. How does everybody understand?
Oh, those birds.
are they doing this? Why are they doing this? I think you're evil! Evil!
Birds are not aggressive creatures, miss. They bring beauty into the world. It is mankind,
Sam, right? Sam, three southern fried chicken.
It is mankind, rather, who insists upon making it difficult for life to exist upon this planet. Now, if it were not for
Mrs.
birds...
Mrs. Bundy, you don't seem to understand. This young lady said there was an attack on the school.
Impossible.
No, Mitch. Oh, I'm glad I caught you. Something terrible, isn't
it? It's the end of the world!
Two Bloody Marys, Deke. What actually happened at the school?
A bunch of crows attacked the school kids.
It's the end of the world. Thus saith the Lord God unto the mountains and the hills and the rivers and the valleys. Behold, I, even I, shall bring a sword upon you, and I will devastate your high places. Ezekiel chapter 6.
Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink.
Isaiah chapter 5. It's the end of the world.
I hardly think a few birds are going to bring about the end of the world.
These weren't a few birds.
Oh, I didn't know there were many crows in Bodega Bay this time of year.
The crow is a permanent resident throughout its range. In fact, during our Christmas count, we recorded...
How many gulls did you count, Mrs. Bundy?
Which gulls, Mr. Scholes? There are several varieties.
The ones have been playing devil with my fishing boats.
Have you had trouble with gulls?
One of my boats did last week.
This young lady was hit by a gull only Saturday.
Steve, I'm still waiting for those Bloody Marys.
Come right up.
Could you ask them to lower their voices, please? They're frightening the children.
The whole flock of gulls nearly capsized. One of my boats practically tore the skipper's arm off.
You're scaring the kids. Keep it low.
But he's scaring me, too. Are you trying to say that all these... Oh, that sounds impossible, Sebastian.
Hey, look, I'm just telling you what happened to one of my boats.
The gulls were after your fish, Mr. Scholes. Really, let's be logical about this.
Well, what were the crows after at the school?
What do you think they were after, Miss...
Daniels. I think they were after the children.
For what purpose?
To kill them.
Why?
I don't know why.
I thought not. Birds have been on this planet, Miss Daniels, since Archaeopteryx, 140 million years ago. Doesn't it seem odd that they'd wait all that time to start a war against humanity?
No one called it a war.
Skylight on the
water. You and Mr. Scholes seem to be implying as much.
Who's anything about a war? All I said, some gold. No, came down on one of my boats. It could have been after the fish, just like you said. The captain should have shot at them. Gulls are scavengers anyway, most birds are. Get yourselves guns and wipe them off the face of the earth.
That would hardly be possible.
Why not, Mrs. Bundy?
Because there are 8,650 species of birds in the world today, Mr. Carter. It is estimated that 5,750,000,000 birds live in the United States alone, the five continents of the world.
Come on, get rid of them, messy animals.
Probably contain more than 100 billion birds.
It's the end of the world.
This recording, and that these tiny feathered friends have left a song in your heart. You have heard birds from all parts of the world, in song and in expression, all living in accord and in harmony. We can learn so much from birds and animals. The American eagle represents strength and freedom, while the gentle dove is a symbol of peace and love. Let us hope that man, too, will find a way of living with one another in peace. Then, in truth, the lion shall lie down with the lamb. May happiness and contentment be with you always.
My pets send love to your pets, and I send my love to you.